the other thing on here, the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter number 13. Matthew chapter 13 this morning. We was talking Wednesday, I think it was. Seth brought me a big bottle of water up here. I said, that's going to last me all night. And we'll have hours of preaching off that. And then my wife goes and buys water, and this is what she picks up for Sunday. Who said that? That's like 15 minutes of good preaching right there. All right, Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to read some verses of Scripture. And then we'll pray and we'll ask God to help us in this morning service. And thank the Lord for good singing. I like good singing. But we need the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. It's what we should focus ourselves on upon our services. Each and every service that we come to. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 3. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered, said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, I want to read over in verse number 18. You read with me. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, you see, is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, and some 60 and 30. Now, you hold your place there, and we're going to start here in Matthew 13. But we're going to end up over in Acts, in chapter number 2. And so if you want to turn there, you can. We'll end up there as well this morning. And I want to preach just for a few minutes that I have this morning on success in sowing and reaping. Success in sowing and reaping. And trust that the Lord will help us this morning and that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. You pray with me as I pray, okay? Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray, Lord, that You'd help us. We need Your help this morning. Father, each heart comes with different things on their hearts this morning. Lord, each one has different circumstances. Father, maybe there's one lost here this morning that needs to be saved. I pray this morning that You would get a hold of their heart by way of the Word of God and help them to see and understand. Maybe there's some here, Father, that have not been giving themselves to You like they should. And I pray, Father, this morning that You would speak to their hearts. Help us to understand when we sow much, we reap much. But, Father, I pray, O God, that the Spirit of the Lord would speak to these hearts. Where man cannot speak to hearts, Lord, all we have is the Word of God. We know that You turn the hearts of kings. And Father, you can take these hearts this morning, young and old, and do a work, what Father, that we cannot do ourselves. And Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do now. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, here in these verses, I want to say and start off this morning, we find a law, you see, the same law that farmers have used down through time. And that is that good seed, okay, plus good sowing, plus good soil equals good fruit. Okay, those three things there together will always produce good fruit. Good seed, good sowing, and good soil. We'll never see a lack of fruit when those three things are combined together. Hey, when Christ sent out His disciples and He said that He had called them and that they would produce fruit and that their fruit would remain, it's because of the calling, you see, of God upon that life. It's because the work of God is going before us and doing a work in the hearts of men that man cannot do. And that's the only reason. Now, we can try to take this Bible. We can teach our young people and those that come up after us what it means to take from John to Romans to Ephesians and take the Bible and show a man that he's lost and show a man that he needs to be saved and come to the saving knowledge of Christ. We can make that top priority and we can take the verses and we know exactly how they're supposed to be lined up, exactly what we're supposed to say when we get to them, and still not be able to see men come to Christ without the power and working of the Holy Spirit. I believe everybody would agree with me this morning on that thought this morning. Might I say though, that when we get these three together, we'll see the problem in not having success. Okay? The problem in not having success. The problem, first of all, is not a seed problem. Okay? The Word of God is the seed here. And there's not a problem with the seed. Psalms 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Now, that's the reason that it doesn't matter. Any man could take that Bible, and if we take the pure, unadulterated Word of God and begin to speak it, the Lord can work. Because the Bible is pure and holy and perfect. Amen? I'm not worried about this. That this King James Bible has always got the work done. Most of the time, I didn't even know when I first got started, especially Miss Nancy, I didn't know really what it said. All I knew was what I was supposed to say to show men that they were lost and they needed heaven. That's all I knew. Sometimes I just take a track. And you know, the Word of God didn't have a problem getting the job done. It's always had got the job done, you see. There's not a problem with the seed. That's not a problem this morning. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God will give faith." 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." You see, the Word of God brings life. I'm not worried whenever I take that Bible of whether the Bible can give life to men and women, because the Bible can give life. We don't have a seed problem. Everybody understands that. Maybe I'll keep my voice this morning. We don't have a seed problem this morning. The problem's not with the seed, and the problem's not a sowing problem this morning. Anywhere you sow the Word of God, it works. Amen? Anywhere you sow it, it's going to work. Mark 16:15, He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Not every creature now is going to be saved, though, but that is our command, to preach the gospel to every creature. Where there is a creature, there should be a preacher, amen. That's not a problem, you see, as far as the sowing. Where you sow the Word of God is going to work. Where you sow the Word of God is a right place to sow. Let me take that back. Not every time will it work, okay? But it's not a wrong place to sow, you see. We don't have a problem with the seed, and we don't have a problem with the sowing. Psalm 126:6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Thank God, though, that some will be saved, you see, when we sow. And we see this in chapter number 13. He says, "And he spake many things in parables. Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now, the sower didn't know exactly where he was going to sow. He was just sowing. He was throwing seed here and throwing seed there and throwing seed here. Some seed fell on the stony places. Some seed fell on thorny places. Some seed fell on the wayside. Some seed did get some good ground, though. But he wasn't trying to say, "Well, I think this seed needs to be placed here. This seed needs to be placed here. I think I could take a little handful of seed here and there." You see, a farmer doesn't go out like that. He doesn't say, "Well, I know what soil's good and what soil's not as far as these patches here and there, and I'll just sow here and there." No, he puts the seed out. Now, some of those corn stalks ain't going to grow, and some of them are. But it's his duty to make sure the seed is out. That's our duty, amen, to make sure the Word of God gets out. Now, it's not our duty to say this person deserves Christ or that person does not deserve Christ. When we knock on a door and we open the door and they're pierced from their eyebrows and their ears and their tongues and their lips and all the way down to their toes, and they got tattoos covering their body, and you know, all they can speak is profanity and blasphemy and curse words. It's not our duty to say that guy don't deserve the Word of God, but this one does. Now, I'm not going to cast my pearls before the swine. If he ain't listening, I ain't talking. But let me tell you something. It is my duty to make sure that he gets the Word of God just like everybody else does, because I'm the sower. Everybody say amen right there. We're the sower, and we don't have a problem. There's not a problem with a sowing problem, you see. We don't have a sowing problem. You can sow. You're to sow everywhere, and there's going to be some. But might I say, the problem in not having success this morning, as far as our Christians and our Christian churches this morning, the problem is a soil problem. It's a sin problem, you see. If good seed is sowed, then the problem has to be with the ground, which is the heart of man. I go back to that, and I've said this before. Brother Rufus Edmiston, I used to talk to him about his revivals, you know. I told him, I said, it seemed like when I preach in churches, and especially across the southeast United States, why, everybody's saved and everybody knows about God, so we don't have to know everything now. They know how to tune you out when you get in church service. And all of a sudden, everybody seems to be spaced out, amen. Kind of like some here, amen. They just sort of space out, and you don't know whether they're listening to you or not. And God said... and you go across, I'd say, I go into some of these churches and it doesn't seem like God, the power of the Lord's showing up, and I want the Spirit of God to show up. And I want God's power to get a hold of hearts. And you used to hear about all the great revivals, and I'd say, man, I want God to show up. And he said, well, you can want God to show up. The problem's a lot of times not with you, it's with the hearts. And it took me a while to get a hold of that, because let me tell you, I'd go into churches and I would read a lot of those older books, and I was reading a lot then, and I was reading about old revivals and all the things that took place, and I was looking for that, man, when I would go into those churches. And thank God, I should always look for that. I should always look for the Spirit of God to do something. But let me tell you something, friend, what I did have to learn is that I shouldn't have been so hard on myself, because sometimes it's a heart problem. There's a soul problem when people's hearts are just too hard to let the Word of God sink in and do something on the inside. And that's the reason we find a lot of people that's in churches for years, and they come back and they say, well, my son or my daughter's not living right now, and they're not giving themselves to God. Well, let me tell you, a lot of times it's not your fault. A lot of times it's a heart problem there. Sometimes it is, amen, mom and dad's fault. Sometimes it is. There's a lot of issues there. But still, it's a heart problem. It's not a word problem. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the sowing. You're going to get that Word of God out there. But there's a heart problem somewhere. As we think about this, the problem is sin, you see. And this morning, I want us to look at these, this morning, real quick, We'll look at a couple of different things, but first I want to look at the four souls here in Matthew. Look with me real carefully, and I'll try to get through this quicker. The wayside ground here. Watch this in verse 4. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Verse 19. And when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Now, those that understandeth it not, that means there was something there that was blocking his understanding of the Word of God. Now, whatever it was, okay, and it could be some cares and riches of this world like happened at the thorny ground. Whatever it was that has blocked that understanding to where he didn't understand what that Word was speaking to his heart, there was a time there where old Satan himself and the things of this world began to swoop down and pick that seed out before that seed had time to settle in that soil. There's no conviction, no conversion. The wayside ground here is that has no interest, you see. The worldliness has devoured the seed before it could enter in. They'll slam the door in your face. They'll sit on pews. And when they get done, it'll have no effect. The Word of God has no effect on them because they have no interest in hearing what the Word of God has to say. You can visit, beg, or bribe, and they'll not change. They'll not come and be faithful to the house of God. It doesn't matter because there's a problem there with receiving the Word of God. A wayside here, no interest. They'll not listen to you. There are some people that are just not going to listen to what the gospel has to say about being saved. Not only we see this wayside ground here, but the stony ground here. Watch this in verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Verse number 20, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. These have preaching problems, you see. The Word of God will eventually offend them, and they'll leave. They don't have any root. They'll come for a little while, but they'll get tired of it, you see. When the preaching gets straight, they'll quickly fall by the wayside too. You can visit all you want, but they'll never come faithfully. The problem, you see, is not with the preacher. The problem is every preacher that preaches the Scriptures straight. Amen. Am I going to get on the pew and amen myself this morning? The problem's not with the preacher. The problem's with every preacher. And they get out and you can't get them back in. And all of a sudden, we're wondering in a state of confusion why they're doing what they're doing. But it's pretty plain right here, you see. There was no new birth. The Word of God wasn't able to get. It fell on that stony place, and it might have had a little bit of a soil there, but it wasn't enough to germinate that seed into something that was real. The problem is that they get out of church, and they stop coming slowly or eventually. They just stop coming to church. They had some type of little form there at one time, but there just wasn't anything, any real Christianity there. Either they get out of church or they find them a comfortable one, you see, where their ears get tickled and their hearts get tickled. And they sit on the church pew, and all they do is sit there waiting for the preacher to tell them how good they are and how good they've been and how God loves everybody and everything's going to be okay. And that preacher, they don't want to hear that preacher. The moment he starts preaching on their sin and getting on the things they've done, getting away from God and out of the service of the Lord, all of a sudden their hearts begin to draw back and they say, I don't think I want this anymore. And they withdraw themselves again. The stony ground here. Not only we see them, but we see the thorny ground here. Verse number 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. They choke them, you see. These have priority problems. Priority problems. They think more of the world and its pleasures. They think more than riches than they do of Christ. Their jobs and their personal pleasures keep them from being faithful to God like they should be. The cares. I like that terminology there in verse number 22 when he says, that in verse number 21, when he says, "He that hath not rooted himself but doeth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth." Excuse me, verse 22. I'm sorry, you got the wrong one. He says, "The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word." Choke the word. Just as well as a thorny bush comes up and chokes that flower out. That's exactly what those riches do. Whenever the Word of God is preached, and he begins to think about how he needs to be saved and how what the Word of God could do and how he's got an empty feeling on the inside of him. And there's never been any real joy and real peace and real contentment. And he's never done things right like he should have been doing. And that thoughts begin to go through his mind. If the Word of God begins to try to seep down inside that soul and get in that ground and try to germinate, and that seed's trying to get in, and all the cares and riches, the things that he's wanting to do in life, and the money that he wants to make, and the power that he wants to have, and the big house, and the cars, I almost said big car, but we want small cars, the Toyota Prius, amen, with cheap gas mileage. All these things that he wants begins to try to choke that word as it's trying to get in that soul. These are the thorny ground hearers. They always have things more important to do than be faithful to the things of God. They want to try to put on a show, and they want to try to make everybody think that they really want what's being preached, and they really want to do right and live holy and separated and clean and do right. But deep down inside, the cares of this world begin to pull them back. And it's too much. And there are people that'll sit on pews and play that Christianity game for lengths of time, months, sometimes years, before you really see that true person of who, what's on the inside, that desire, that fleshly desire starting to take control. Understand that these are not saved people. You see, some have a form at one time or another, Christianity, but the seed's never allowed in their hearts to do something to bring them to that saving knowledge of Christ. Now, I want you to see this morning real quick in Acts chapter number 2. Now, we're going to look at the contrast of this problem. We're going to look at the contrast this morning. Now, look with me in Acts chapter number 2. Verse number 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, in contrast, I would say saved people always experience, understandably, changed hearts. Because of the Word of God that was allowed to germinate, it produced something in their life, you see. It produced something. And it produced such a change in them that it produced a change in their lives. Now, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about this thought. 13 ways that you know that this change has been made. We're going to see this just through these scriptures. Now, you follow along with me, and we'll look at this real quick this morning. First of all, when a person, when the seed is fell in good ground, there is fruit of gladness. What's this? "Then they that gladly received this word, they that gladly received His Word. There's a fruit of gladness for those that get saved. There's just something about the salvation that brought joy in their heart where they can't help but thank the Lord that they're saved. And when you get people that sit on a pew that don't have any joy in their heart, that they are saved by the good grace of God, then something's wrong somewhere. There's a fruit of gladness. Y'all see that in verse number 41. Secondly, there's the fruit of obedience. Then they gladly received His Word, were baptized. This is the first step of obedience for those that are saved. It is the door to church membership. Amen? Local church membership. We are baptized to show forth our death, burial, and resurrection, that our old man has died, and we are a new man. Amen? Walking in a newness of life. In Christ Jesus, the first step of obedience. I've never had anybody myself to where they said, I don't want to be baptized. Now, we here at Faith Baptist Church, we do believe in rebaptizing. For those that are not like faith, amen. Now, understandably, somebody that joins the church needs to be like faith, amen. They need to be like doctrine, like practice. They need to be walking in unity with this local church. But might I say there have been people. We used to have a Spanish ministry over in Belmont. And there were those that came and they said, well, we're not gonna get baptized here. We'd say, well, do you believe this, this, and this? And we had them through, once they had made a profession of faith, the wife did, and the husband, he said he was already saved, and they were living there, and the church they went to was 45 minutes away, 35 minutes away over in Russellville. And here they were going to church here, and they said, well, if you're going to join this church, you're going to have to get rebaptized. He said, no, we're not going to do that. Man, that was just a big uproar. Not only was it them, but they started talking to the others and different ones. And let me tell you something. I've never had, if somebody's saved, one of their greatest fruits of salvation is simple submission to authority. When somebody don't have any submission to authority, and let me tell you something, the local church is my authority and your authority. The local church is authority. God give that to the local church, you see. Not to a pastor, not to a deacon board, amen. Not to a wife, not to the ladies' meetings. And I've been in some churches where the ladies rule the roost, amen. But let me tell you something. The authority was given to the local church. And there are people that when they don't submit, there are people that when they don't come under that authority, hey, if they don't come under that authority, I begin to question, say, something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong somewhere. Because a man don't mind, a man that's saved and his heart's right with God and he loves the Lord, he don't mind saying. Now, there are situations, understandably, to where a man has to leave a local church. I'm not saying that this morning, but I am saying this, that there are a lot of times that people leave a local church and they don't have any scriptural reason to leave that local church. And it's just simply because there's no obedience to submitting to God. Now, if that church is submitted to the ways of God and the doctrines of the Lord, they're doing things right. And what's right as far as by this Word and by this Scripture, I shouldn't have any problem submitting myself to that pastor in that local church. Y'all still with me this morning, aren't you? I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm trying to tell you what's right. Amen. Either we are going to be submissive or we're not. And when people are not submitted to authority, then there's a problem there with Christianity, or there's a problem there with their heart as far as being right with God. Either not saved or they're just not right with God. They're away from the Lord. Understandably, though, there's fruit of obedience. They gladly received His Word and were baptized. And the same day, watch this, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There's the fruit of gladness, obedience, and faithfulness. They were added unto them. They said, we'll go where you go. That's what the house of Jason said over there when Paul in Acts chapter number 17 finally got there. He started preaching the gospel in the tabernacle. People got mad. The Bible says the elders, men and the women, they started getting mad. They got the vilest of the vile to try to overturn them. And the house of Jason cleaved to Paul. And he said, your God's my God. He did like Ruth, amen, with Naomi. She said, your God's my God. Where you go, I'll go. They were added unto them. They joined them. That's what Paul did after he got saved. He was a persecuting the church in Acts chapter number 9. He got saved, amen, and he just joined himself with the brethren. He got under scrutiny because he was preaching the gospel in the tabernacle. They lowered him down through the window, sent him back to Jerusalem. They were scared, but he said, I've got to add unto you. I've got to join myself unto you. Hey, there's fruit of faithfulness, understandably, when someone's saved. Hey, whenever that seed fell on good ground, there's fruit of teachableness. Watch this. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You see that in verse number 42? There's fruit of teachableness. Hey, let me tell you a good sign somebody's not saved or they don't have their heart right with God. When you start trying to tell them what the Bible says, they say, yeah, but. But's a really big word, amen, when you start using it like that. Yeah, but I've always believed it this way. Yeah, but Granny's always said it this way. Yeah, but Mama's always taught it this way when we were around the table. Yeah, but my church has always did it this way. There's no teachableness about them. And you take the Bible and you say, well, this is what the Bible says. Now, let me tell you something. I've not always walked right, done right. Amen. I'm robed in flesh like you are. But I tell you one thing that the Lord's always given me, which has been the greatest gift that He's ever given me besides salvation, and that's a heart to learn. If I'm wrong, show me I'm wrong in the Bible, and let's both be right. Amen. I don't have any problem with that. But if this Bible says this, then let me go. I know they say, well, there's some shady issues. Well, as far as Bible doctrine, there's not. It is what it is. Amen. Either we're right with the Bible or we're wrong with God. You can't say, well, I'm right with the Bible and then stand against the things of God and the Scriptures. I'm right with God and then go against what the Word of God has to say. Teachableness. If that seed has germinated in that good ground and it's produced the fruit of salvation is life, he won't mind learning what the Word of God has to say, even if it's went against something he's always seen for years. He says, well, if that's what the Word of God has to say, then let me believe it. Y'all still with me this morning, aren't you? When the seed falls on good ground, there's a fruit of teachableness. When it falls on good ground, there's a fruit of love. Watch this. He says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread. Now watch this. There's the fruit of love. Fruit of love. They don't mind fellowshipping with the saints of God. They don't mind breaking bread with the saints of God. Hey, let me tell you a good sign that a person's not saved. A good sign that the seed hadn't fell on good ground. It's when there are people in the church that can't get along because they can't get along with God. They can't get along with God's people. And when that happens, you know something's wrong somewhere. Something is just wrong. When they can't, by love, say, you know what? You've done this, and I'm sorry. I feel like you have offended me, but I don't mind apologizing. That's the fruit of love. When you can't do that, something's wrong somewhere. Y'all still with me this morning, aren't you? When it's fell on good ground, there's going to be some fruits of love. Fellowship, breaking of bread. Not only that, there's a fruit of communion. Watch this in verse 42. Fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They don't mind communing with God and communing with the saints of God. And when they get in a predicament, when they get in circumstances, they don't go to Sylvia Brown, amen. They don't go to psychics and they don't go to psychiatrists. Sometimes they walk hand in hand, amen. They go to the people of God. They go to the ones that can take the Word of God and help them. They don't mind doing that. Hey, communing with God, getting with the Lord in prayer, finding what God has to say to their hearts. Hey, that happens when the seed falls on good ground. There's a fruit of agreement. Fruit of fear. Watch this. We're just going to go one upon another. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. The fruit of fear. They feared God. They feared the Lord. They feared lest the Lord... Hey, and you say, well, I don't fear God. This fear was a reverence. They reverenced the Lord because He was holy. And He was righteous. He was righteous in His judgments, whether it's against you for the bad or for you for the good, whether it's a cursing or a blessing. If it's the judgment of God and the wrathful hand of God that's coming, we say, well, this is just God. We fear the Lord. We want to walk righteous and holy and upright before men because we fear the wrathful hand of God that could come against us. Now, these days, the world calls that fearful teaching. They say you're just trying to scare everybody. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to help you walk right, amen. Live right. Because there is a God that does bring judgment. There is a God that you can get on His bad side, amen. You can get on the wrong side. Hey, I want the favors of the Lord, amen. I don't want the hand of God against me. Who can fight against the Lord? There's no one that can fight against God. As we think about this, not only see the fruit of fear. Fear came upon every soul. There's a fruit of compassion. Watch this in here in verse number 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. All things common. There was a fruit of compassion. Not only that, a fruit of agreement. And all that believed, A-L-L. All that were together, they continued daily with one accord, breaking bread from house to house. There was a fruit of companionship. They had unity about them. Unity is pretty strong, amen? When you get a church that don't have unity, you ain't got a whole lot. I would rather see people not be here than be trying to fight against unity in the church. Now, you say, well, that's kind of hard words for a church planter, amen. That's hard words for somebody getting started. That's hard words for a baby church. But let me tell you something, friend. If someone's going to fight against unity, I wouldn't want them here at Faith Baptist Church. I'd rather have 10 people in unity than 100 people in discord. Everybody say, amen, Brother Shoemaker. Because I could get more done with 10 in unity than 1,000 in discord any day. Because 1,000 in discord ain't going to do anything for God. They don't want to work for the Lord. They don't want to be in His service. The fruit of agreement. They all had one in one accord. They continued daily together. I would say, if this church is going to do anything for the Lord, we'll have to continue together. But that is a fruit, you see, that the seed has fell upon good ground. Because there's unity. Not only we find that, there's the fruit of praise. Watch this. Here he says in verse number 47, praising God, having favor with all people. Praising God. Hey, they didn't mind praising the Lord. That is a fruit of salvation, that the seed has fell upon good ground. People give honor to the Lord. Well, the Lord deserves that honor. Hey, they don't mind being thankful to God, showing forth that gratitude. You say, oh, I do, Brother Shoemaker. There's a lot of people that think they do. And they go through their life and they never give honor to God. When they come to church, they say, thank you, Lord. And they draw near to Him with their lips with thankfulness. But with their heart, they're far from Him. Hey, if you really was right with God and you really had a spirit of praise and that seed fell upon good ground and brought forth praise in your heart, you'll do it Monday through Friday. And you won't be minding giving God thanks when you wake up, thanks when you go to bed, thanks when you're ready to pray over your meals, giving God thanks for what He's done for you and your family. That's a good sign that you've been saved and the seeds fell on good ground. There's the fruit of testimony. He said in verse 47, having favor with all people. The fruit of testimony. Hey, you know, people that where the seed don't fall on good ground, it falls on the wayside, the stony places. They come to church and they make a good show, but when they go outside, when they get to their job places or where they're at, they don't have any testimony of being somebody that is a saved person. Somebody that wants to walk with God and do right, live right. Hey, if the seeds fell on good ground, if we truly are born again people, then let's have a testimony for God that we have been born again. A testimony for God that we have been saved. That it has grown up within us some good fruit. We'll think about it. Not only find the fruit of testimony, but the fruit of the witness. Watch this in this verse. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They went out and they started getting others. They went out and started witnessing to the others. And daily, people were added to the church. They were saying, let me tell you about who I heard about the other day. Hey, there was a man called Peter, and he started telling us about Jesus, how good that Jesus was to come, die on a cross, and be resurrected, and how He lives. You can live, and I can live, because He lives. And they started telling people about Jesus and how good God was. And people started getting added to the church because people wanted that joy they had. People wanted what they had. Is that fruit of witness there? Hey, these things are good ways that you know that when the gospel finally reached your soul, it hit good soul. For a lot of those that are in church, Brother Chad, it hit their heart and it didn't hit good soul. I would wonder when we examine ourselves today, is that something in our life? Or maybe some family members, people that we know, hey, you know what, that we could be a witness to. Hey, that we could share the gospel with and say, you know, listen, there's something wrong whenever there's no fruit there of your salvation. It's very plain, either a man's lost or a man's saved. Sometimes there'll be shady times when a man will question his salvation. That's going to happen, but deep down inside, he knows whether he's been saved or not. He knows whether he's been saved. I've seen people battle their salvation, but God's always conquered that for them. Salvation will always bring forth fruit of salvation. I wonder, do we know that we know that we know this morning? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died right now, heaven would be your home? I wonder, do you know? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Courtney, you come. Get ready to play a verse of invitation. Maybe we'll say, Brother Shoemaker, I know some people in my family or in my at my job site, wherever I am, that really needs to be saved. Well, you know what? It's your duty to reach out. Maybe there's some in here that says, Brother Shoemaker, if I died right now, I don't know that heaven would be my home. Now listen up real careful. If I died right now, I don't know heaven would be my home. If there's somebody in here this morning like that, you can know before you leave here this morning that heaven could be your home, will be your home. You can know that. If you'd like to be saved today, you're welcome to come to an old-fashioned altar and trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe you just need to pray this morning. Maybe there were some things on your heart. Maybe God spoke to your heart in some way. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation time this morning. Help us now, Father, as we draw close to you. I pray that you take the Word of God. Lord, as we what we have heard, Father, I pray, let it help us now. Lord, help us to understand, Lord, this sowing and reaping. Father, we can be successful, but only by your grace, by your mercy, by your work, Father, your ability, your strength, your power. Help us, Father, to totally rely upon you for everything we do. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do now this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. She plays. Maybe you want to come and pray. You're welcome to. These altars are open. You want to come and pray? Come pray. You need to be saved this morning? You can come and trust Christ as your Savior. Lord, help us.